Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the HIL Limited conference call to discuss the results for Q2 and H1 FY 2023. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Rangnekar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lizanne. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to HIL Limited's quarter two and H1 FY 2023 results conference call for investors and analysts. Today we have with us Mr. Dhiruv Roy Chaudhary, Managing Director and CEO of the company, Mr. Saikat Mukhopadhyay, CFO, Mr. Ajay Kapadia, Vice President, Finance and Accounts. We will first have Mr. Dhiruv Roy Chaudhary making the opening comments, and he would be followed by Mr. Saikat, who would take you through the financial perspectives. Before we commence, I would like to highlight that some of the statements on today's call could be forward-looking in nature, and details in this regard are available in the earnings presentation, which has been shared with you and is also available on the stock exchange website. I would now like to invite Mr. Dhiruv to present his views on the performance and the strategic imperatives that lie ahead. Over to you, Dhiruv.
Thank you, Siddharth. Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to HIL's quarter two and H1 FY 2023 earnings call. Thank you for taking the time to join us today, and I sincerely hope that all of you are doing well. I would like to be upfront to admit that last quarter has been an extremely tough one for both HIL India and Paradeon. Most of the headwinds that we see are created by external factors, which are quite beyond anyone's control. In today's discussion, I wish to speak about each of them as also give you a transparent view on the actions your company's management are taking to mitigate them. Amidst all the challenges, we have delivered steady revenue during the quarter. Historically, quarter two is always the weakest quarter, both in India due to the onset of rains and in Europe due to summer vacations. This was further dampened this year due to the ongoing weak consumer sentiments in Europe. Despite these trends, our teams have worked relentlessly to minimize the impact on our financials and maximize our performances. We have achieved a 6% growth in our consolidated results in H1 FY 2023, while it is 14% in our Indian business. During the quarter, we continued to face inflationary pressures in most of our business segments. These ripples were caused by the persistent inflation in key raw material costs, high sea rates, and the ongoing geopolitical scenario in Europe. While the supply side issues continue to provide huge headwinds, we have escalated our sales across verticals to drive our growth. We also continue to produce innovative ways to overcome the challenges faced and maximize our performances. I am very excited with the benefits we are securing by IoT 4.0 implementation in 12 plants. This brings in transparency, preventive maintenance, and shared ownership for all to drive best performances. An aggressive adaptation of Six Sigma across all functions has further brought our family closer and is committed to deliver better efficiencies and lower costs. Let me now take you through the individual performances and the challenges we are facing in each of our business segments rather in detail. In the roofing segment, you would recall we had a fantastic quarter one this year, where due to meticulous planning and last leg connects, your company was able to secure 25% of the market share. This led to an imminent chaos amongst competition in Q2, and the market clearly witnessed a whimsical pricing leading to lower margins in each of the segment's operators. HIL, owing to its brand, Last Leg Connect, digital intervention in PIN code mapping and heat mapping, was able to sustain its price supremacy in all the markets across the country, and our selling prices were kept higher than last year. However, due to huge cost rise in fiber, together with high sea freight impact, has kept the profitability of this segment muted over last year. Determined efforts are being taken by HIL to raise the NSRs as the cost pressures would continue for the rest of the year. Polymer solutions continue to face severe external headwinds owing to further softening of PVC prices, which has come down by more than 25% in quarter two and 38% in the first half. This has substantially reduced the primary stocking across the industry, has also severely impacted the bottom line owing to inventory losses. Forex is also adding to the woe. Through our emphasis on quality, distribution and brand, Birla HIL is carving a growth niche for itself in the vast market. We sincerely hope that the PVC prices have almost bottomed out and expected to improve our performance in the coming quarters. We continue to add newer SKUs to cater to the demand in key markets and are also in the process of launching foam core for underground application in this quarter. As regards putty business, we are witnessing severe competitive pressures in the market, which together with the increase in price of raw material has kept this business softened in the last quarter. Our fabric to grow this segment stays unaltered, and our company pledges to take this business to its needed growth profile soonest. Panadol enjoys a unique position in Europe homes and derives a large portion of momentum from two large countries, namely Germany and Austria. It has seen impact on sales on account of softening in demand as the EU is embedded with inflation and energy crisis. The market sentiments in Europe are very low, with consumers adopting a conservative approach and going for only essentials. The footfall for renovation materials, including flooring, has seen a degrowth of 30% in DIY and multiples. The heat is being felt by the entire flooring industry, with many declaring plants shut down, including our major competitors and suppliers. Future projections for new orders are coming down due to high volatility. However, we are witnessing some countries which are able to battle through these challenges better than the rest, namely Spain, Switzerland, Sweden, Norway, and Denmark. Amongst our competitors, Paragor is doing far better. With meticulous efforts taken by the team in onboarding new customers from these greener pastures, we have been able to gather speed in our order backlog for engineered work. We therefore have good orders for our Austrian plant, which is running at full capacity. However, orders for our coastal Germany factory has come down substantially. We have already initiated various actions to continue our business sustenance and cost savings during these extraordinary tough times, and sincerely hope that the situation would improve after the winter period. In the midst of all of this, I am extremely happy with the performance of our building solutions segment, where our strategic efforts to convert this business from a product sale to a solution sale have started reaping results. Our sales and technical solutions team have onboarded many new customers from Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities, which has led to a higher realization and a favorable payment terms. We have fully utilized the capacity of this business while taking concerted steps towards increasing the same. In this regard, acquisition of Fast Build Block business in Orissa has been a good step forward. It has not only helped us reduce our investments for a greener block plant, but also helped us to secure new customers and optimize competition in this region. We are also taking small steps towards incremental capacity increase in all our plants of blocks and panels, while focused steps are being taken to evaluate contract manufacturing of blocks. I am confident that our brand builder Aircon, today with our technical, trained sales force and superior products, would enable us to continue the profitable growth of this business in times to come. As you are also aware, we have decided to step into construction chemical business. We are laying the foundation of this business and working on acquiring talent, product assortment, vendor development, logistics and distribution network. We have onboarded 32 team members already, 100 channel partners, launched 25 products and 170 SKUs in the market within the first 6 months, and have achieved in excess of 7 crores revenue in the first half. Our aim is to take this business to 300 crore plus in the next 2 to 3 years. In conclusion, let me commit that your company remains optimistic in mitigating the existing challenges suitably with the help of highly committed workforce. On this note, I would like to invite our CFO, Saikar, to give a more granular view on financial performances during the quarter and would be available to take your questions thereafter.
Thank you, Dhiru. A very good morning to all, and thank you for joining us on the call today. I'd like to take you through the financial and operating highlights of the business during Q2 and H1 FY23. The ongoing geopolitical tensions as well as the resulting headwinds impacted financial performance during the quarter. It is worth noting that our entire teams worked very hard to mitigate these effects. We delivered a consolidated revenue of 764 crores during the quarter as compared to 766 crores in Q2 FY22. EBITDA for the quarter came at rupees 20 crores versus 68 crores in the corresponding quarter last year. During H1 FY23, revenue stood at 1849 crores, growing by 6% against 1749 crore in H1 of last year. EBITDA for the period stood at 156 crores versus 241 crores in H1 FY22. A drop of 530 basis points in margin. PAT for H1 FY22 stood at rupees 80 crores as against 126 crores in H1 FY22. In Q2, the roofing solutions business grew by 5% year on year, coming in at 197 crore as compared to rupees 189 crore in the corresponding period last year. We continue to have a higher market share in the roofing business, and this revenue growth is a testimony of that. H1 FY23 revenue stood at 650 crores, growing by 8%. The building solutions business grew by 29% year on year during Q2 FY23, coming in at 123 crores. H1 FY23 revenue stood at 248 crores, showing a robust growth of 38%. Polymer business stood at 126 crores in Q2 FY23. Revenue from operations in the polymer business came at 268 crores during H1 FY23, growing by 10% as compared to 243 crores in H1 FY22. The flooring solutions business stood at 315 crores during the quarter under review. H1 FY23 revenues were at rupees 681 crores. The health of company's balance sheet is of great importance to us. The debt at consolidated level now stands at 300 crores and the total debt to equity ratio stands at 0.25. This gives us the comfort and confidence to drive growth initiatives and mitigate challenges in the marketplace. The net worth of the company today stands at 1192 crores, having grown 8% year on year. With this, I'd like to conclude my opening remarks. I request the moderator to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vedic Sarkar from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Mr. Chaudhary, good morning. Trust all well. We understand operating conditions have been challenging overall, and we hope they get better sooner than later. A couple of questions. How has demand salience been in the Parador side of our business in October and November so far? We understand in your September update call, you mentioned about a lot of initiatives about expanding the market in the Nordics and Spain and the Americas. Have they begun to yield any result? So some color on that, and would you reckon Q3, this fiscal will be a break-even quarter for Parador?
Thank you very much, Mr. Sarkar, for your question. So your questions are all on Parador, so let me try and answer them one by one. The demand in October is also low, and we are seeing a drop of demand of more than 30% in Europe, in the major parts of Europe where we are. November has started well at the moment, but it's only a few days now, so it's very early to say how it's going to platform. But normally November is a decent month in Parador, but this year, of course, situations are different. Our actions are being taken with big houses, big customers in the Nordic countries, and Spain, and they have a particular RFQ process and accessing new suppliers. This process does take a few months, therefore I will not be expecting orders to immediately pour in from there. The quick orders and the quick revenues in Parador comes from DIYs, because those are where people go and buy quickly, and therefore you can sell quicker. And those are also products which we make in Coastwells, namely the laminates, the vinyl, the modular one. But those orders have come down immensely. So we are harping more on the project orders, which are primarily engineered goods, and they take their own lead times, and delivery times are also quite extended. So it will take its time, but as long as our order booking is good in the coming months from those customers which are new and potentials for future, then the revenues will definitely be better in the coming quarters.
Sure. On the profitability front, Ms. Chaudhary, would you reckon, we'd be significantly away from break-even? And is that something that can be expected at least by Q4? I mean, I know it's early days, but given the cost control initiatives you spelled out in the September call, any comments on that?
Well, our attempt is exactly on that direction. There are fixed costs within Europe, which everyone is aware, which are difficult to be controlled beyond the level. A lot of cost-saving aspects have been taken, including permission from the government to go for short-term work for a few people so that we are able to save on some part of the cost. Let me define this for you. Short-term work in Europe means that you are able to send people for or some days of the week where you pay only 60% of their salary, and the 40% then or part of it comes from the government to them. So those actions have been taken in some departments as we see the weakening of revenues, but they are not enough to help us mitigate all the cost challenges. Our attempts are towards break-even on EBITDA in Q3, but it will be too early for me to comment on this.
Sure, I understand that. On the domestic roofing front, it looks like volumes have been pretty benign in Q2, and you alluded to the the competitive aspect. You know, how are things looking right now? Is there a strategy that we have in hand to combat, you know, this kind of pricing pressure from the environment? Or do you reckon we just have to wait and watch?
No, we don't wait and watch at all. Mr. Sarkar, you've been with us for a long, long time and you're aware that your management is far ahead of the rest. On the top line front, we are doing everything to secure our positions, our market shares in India. Roofing, we are growing in our market share over last year, whilst the price pressures and the cost pressures are huge. I simply hope that the market understands the cost pressures and we are able to get better realization, which we have not been to my satisfaction. Because, you know, the capacities in roofing is far higher than the market demands. Everyone knows about that. So, therefore, if there is a determined effort only to sell volumes by our competition, market prices cannot go up beyond the level. But we have a huge differential with the rest on market prices, on NSRs. It is difficult to sustain beyond the level, but our attempts on brand, our attempts of direct connect with the retail, direct connect with the consumers is something that we are harping on to continue this spree. I'm very hopeful that we'll be able to take some price rise to mitigate the cost differential over last year, which is huge because of fiber. Fiber was created mainly because there was a huge scarcity of fiber from Russia and Kazakhstan due to the war, and therefore everyone went to Brazil, and we were buying only from Brazil, as you are aware. So the Brazilians therefore found it difficult to satisfy everyone, and also their cost had gone up, so they raked up their price immensely, which has dented everyone, so not us alone, but we are, I'm sure, still a preferential customer to them. The rest are also facing this. Plus the fact that when you go to new suppliers, the mix of fiber changes, which also increases the cost of production. I'm sure all of these are problems that our competition is facing. I would only hope that they understand from their own results and do something to help the industry in raising the prices. We are taking all actions towards that. PVC, I think, has reached a level wherein further reduction of PVC prices may be minimal. So I would say another 10 rupee at the most reduction would be there. That will have a negative impact for a month or two, but after that, things are going to move up and the demands have been subdued. So I'm seeing a resilience of demand going up in quarter four for sure in India, which will be helpful to companies which have been able to keep their fabric absolutely in order and is ready to grow, and your company would be one of them.
Sure. If I could just squeeze in one last question. On your construction chemicals foray, did you call out a number of 300 crores over the next 2 years? Did I get that right? And if you could just throw some color on what's the business model here? Will it be traded, you know, manufactured, you know, something like that?
Yeah, so you're right. Our aim, and I always share my dream and aim with all of you because you must be a part of it and may like to correct me in it. Construction chemicals, any segment which is below 300 crore is non-viable from an entire perspective. And I would like to take this segment, which is our next dream segment, to 300 crore as soon as possible. My aim will be next 3 years, 2 to 3 years, I've said, next 3 years positively, we should be at 300 crore for construction chemical. At the moment, we are still testing the waters. It's doing extremely well. Our brand has already started penetrating the market. Though 7 crores in the first 6 months or 9 crore in the first 7 months, I won't say these are big numbers, but we would be able to ramp it up here on 2 to 3 crore every month is my aim. And let's see. I mean, we will have to buy a company or two to also extend our SKUs when that's needed, but we will keep you fully informed on that.
Yeah, but is the model traded now? Or
the model is entirely traded now. Therefore, there is no capex in this, and the profits, the contributions are good. But the costs are also high because this is also the second in period where we have introduced a lot of people there already. for ramping it up. But this is the time of investment into the business for future.
Okay, my best wishes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Rajat Setia from iPod PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, Rajatji, you're very audible. Please tell me.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Sir, one question about the Parador. So what is the power and fuel cost as a percentage of sales for this for Parador?
Yeah. So I'll give you the answer in two sectors. One is the power and fuel cost of Parador is 2.5%. That's the direct answer to you. The second answer to you, which would give the relevance also, is we don't use gas. We use electricity. And what we did miraculously, I would say, was that decision in February. So we froze the entire electricity cost of this whole year, calendar year though, up to December end, in February itself, and that was at low base. Then the prices all shot up. So, and we have also frozen 60% of electricity requirements for next year in Coastfield and 40% in Goosing plant for the calendar year next year, that is 2023. So these decisions were taken in February while the war had not yet started, which will definitely hold on for Parador and hopefully help us.
Hello.
Hello. Rajesh ji?
Yeah, I can hear you, sir.
I hope I answered your question.
Okay. I think I just thought the line was cut. All right, sir. So this was one. Thank you so much for that. The other is on the roofing segment. So the raw material fiber that we use, what is it as a percentage of total sale of that roofing, asbestos roofing segment?
So fiber is the biggest material that we use in roofing, Rajivji, and the total is about 33% of or 40% of the raw material cost, fiber.
That's good. And so what are the margins in this segment on an yearly basis, if you look at, they keep on fluctuating a lot. So what are the sustainable or there are no such thing for this segment, you would say?
No, I mean, I'll tell you, the fluctuation that you've seen is more cyclic in roofing in nature. So a roofing segment has the best quarters as quarter one. The second best quarter is quarter four of a financial year. The third is quarter three and the fourth is quarter two. So quarter two is the weakest. Quarter three is the second best. And quarter four is the third best the second best, and the best is quarter one. So that's where it is. The fluctuation of margin, what you see is a direct relation to the material cost rise, because the material cost plays a havoc sometimes, and if the NSRs don't go up in the market, you would see that fluctuating. So a steady state profitability for roofing should be about 20-22% EBITDA.
All right. So the fluctuation is not because of the pricing, it's largely because of the raw material prices.
That's right, it's raw material, but in quarters, it is rising also. So every quarter, when there is a low demand, like in quarter two, NSRs will drop down from quarter one level. And quarter three, we would take some actions to raise it to quarter two, and quarter four, we will raise it further to quarter three, and then in quarter four, it will be at its peak.
Yeah. Understood. And so the next question is on the piping business. So in the pipes business, what is the distribution network that we have today? How was it 2 years back, and what is our plan for the next one to 3 years?
So in pipes, first let me answer the last question. In pipes, we want to reach 1,000 crore revenue in the next 3 years' time. And in putty, we want to reach about 400 crore revenue in the next 3 years. So it will be about 1,400 crore in this segment in the next 3 years. Coming to the network, there is an extensive network increase that we are doing. Our brand is settling down well, which is the lifestyle brand. We had initially problem in getting big distributors in our segment because they are all linked to all the big players. We are far, far smaller in every way. But the growth in distribution is roughly about 270 to 300 new points every year that we are growing. And our connect with the plumbers and the masons, plumbers for the pipes and masons for the putty, is a continuous effort which is adding to this. I think presently as it stands, roofing would have a retail connect of more than 20,000 points, and for polymers, we would have at least 3,500 to 4,000 connects in the country.
3,000 to 3,500. Okay.
500 to 4,000.
And we plan to add, or we are at a run rate of adding almost 270 to 300 every year. That's
yes.
What you mentioned. Okay, understood. The final question, on the tax rate of India entity and Panado, what are those tax rates?
So, I will request my CFO to answer this question.
Tax rate as far as India business is concerned is 25%, say 25.17% around, and in Paradore it should be about 31.5%.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is on the line of Ashwin Reddy from Samatva Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is on Paradore. So on Paradore, given the environment right now and given the fact that competitors are also on a weak footing, is this a time to play offense and take any strategic decisions, you believe, or is it still a time to play defensive and see how the market goes on?
Ashwinji, my apologies, I couldn't understand your question at all. I know it's about Paradore, but I just couldn't answer your question.
Okay. So actually, I'm saying on Paradore, so is this a time to be aggressive in the market and take any steps in terms of backward integration or on competition, or do you think it is still a time to be defensive given the opportunity?
Very, very, very interesting question, and let me answer this to you. I had two choices with me. One is lament under the present crisis and therefore start reducing costs in a big way and be defensive and thereby maybe in a way destroy the structure of Paradore, which would have been quite a futuristic destruction. And the second was accept that we will lose some money in PBT, but at EBITDA, keep it awake. For better times to come, which I believe will take a quarter or two at the most. In the meantime, go aggressive in new markets with your products, which your Paradore products are extremely good, high-end. Go into the market, get new, establish new contracts with big building houses, contractors, builders, influencers like the interior designers, architects, and build the brand further to be ready to absolute kickstart as soon as the situation improves. We are taking the second.
Okay, got it. This is helpful. In your opening remarks, you also mentioned that even your suppliers in some cases are facing difficulties, right? So is there any impact of this on your business in terms of the suppliers being facing difficulties, and is this a time for you to back integrate or?
I'm so sorry, your voice is all mumbled. Could you be slightly closer and speak a little softer? My apologies.
Okay, sorry. So I'm saying you also mentioned that even the suppliers are facing difficulties in your case, in some cases you mentioned. So Is this also a time to backward integrate, or there is no scope, or there is no need for you to backward integrate in Paridol?
So your question is with the suppliers that they are facing difficulty. So what's your question, sir? Is it the time?
Is it a time to backward integrate? Are there any inorganic opportunities which you see to make your business more stronger in the future?
Again, your voice is so bad, but let me answer this to you. See, I'll just take you back to about 12 months back. There was a huge crisis for raw material availability in Europe, and that's the time the important raw material like HDF that we buy, MDF that we buy, chemicals that we buy shot up by about 100%. Now, when the suppliers have enjoyed such a fantastic profitable year last year, they are determined not to slip that too. So they had two choices. One, lower their price immensely because the demands have fallen and keep their plants on. The second was to stop their plants, not to lower their prices. So they have taken the second option. So we are not seeing, therefore, a price dip enough from them while they have closed their plants and therefore suffering a lot on the fixed costs. I'm hopeful. We have been able to get a 20-25% discount over the peak prices in the last quarter or so in raw material, which has the inventory that we are depleted. We will see the benefit of this in the profits on the costs. But we are not seeing the suppliers taking any disastrous action by reducing their selling prices immensely.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Amit Vora, an investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. First of all, I would like to appreciate the management's efforts to always keep investors updated about what is coming and been quite appreciative about this. Over the past 3 quarters, you have been very clear that yes, there is a problem and you have been updating us. Firstly, that the question is on Paridol again, revolving around this. Are we seeing any kind of inventory that we have stacked up or that is there, which can come as a write-off in the coming days? That's my first question. And the second question is on the building solutions, where we have done extremely well, and it looks like the new acquisition has merged very well into HIL. The margins that we have reported here, how are these sustainable, and going forward, is there a scope for improvement in these margins? Thanks.
Amitji, thank you for your questions. Very clear. Thank you for giving me a chance to explain the inventory part of it. So let me go back a few months back and draw you to the stress that we had during the onset of the war, where there was absolute scarcity of wood because, as I informed you earlier, 40% of the wood for the whole world's supplies come out of Ukraine and Russia. So with the wars there, that was under a big, big problem. We have been able to secure a lot of inventory during that time, using our connects so that we don't ever starve ourselves of raw material. We were carrying in Paridol about 47 million inventory middle of last quarter. Now is the time when we have decided raw material availability is no more a problem. So we have taken a concerted approach to bring it down. I would draw to all investors the point that the lowest inventory in the history of Paridol used to be 33, 34 million, but the raw material cost had gone up by about 100%, and therefore, automatically the inventory carrying cost goes up and the levels goes up. But we have taken determined effort to get the inventory pegged at 40 million. We are at about 41, 42 at the moment. We will bring it down a little more and peg it at 40 million till sales really return in full state. That is point number one. Point number two, there is no dead inventory. So every material is usable, and therefore there is absolutely no problem with our inventory. That's answering your second question. Now I come to the building solutions. the margins, which were hovering around 4-5%, 6% in any of the years earlier, at EBITDA level has now gone up to 13%, which I would give credit to the team. We are very positive that we will be able to continue this free, and these margins can only improve from here, is according to me, with as we grow in this business.
All right. That's quite helpful and insightful. I think these are the two questions, and most of my other questions have been answered. If I have any questions, I'll jump back in the queue. And all the best, and looking forward for your next quarter.
Thank you very much, Amit. I really need that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Gada from Abacus AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First on the Parada business, when you mentioned that, you know, we were able to lock in the electricity prices in February and our PNF still remains at 2.5% of revenue, then are we primarily seeing the impact in Parador because of the demand just getting eroded, or because when we look at even at the gross margin levels as well for Parador itself, then there also we are seeing some pressure? So maybe if I can just like-to-like basis, a 40% gross margin has gone down to 35%. So could you highlight both these things, please?
Absolutely. I'll be happy to highlight all of this to you. First of all, you spoke about electricity. Yes, for this calendar year up to December, it's 100% locked at very favorable rate than what is there presently. And for next year, it's locked up to, say, average 50%. The other part, we still have to lock it. And in the present rate, we are unable to lock it for next year because that's a huge, huge cost. So we are waiting for the government to take the right decisions, which I'm confident Germany and Austria will take in times to come. And we'll see possibly some good reduction or rebates on this in the coming months. And then we will go for the locking. So now coming to, yes, even amidst that, our, contribution is low, our gross margins are low. The reasons are the following. Number one, the raw material costs that are standing in our SAP is very, very high because they were very high initially. It's just started coming down the last 1.5 months. We have seen through aggressive negotiations that has come down by about 20-25%. We will be able to realize this benefit in the coming months, maybe after a quarter, because we are unable to buy more material as we are taking concerted approach to reduce the inventory. So that's one point. Second, why is the margins deteriorating? So one of the reasons for margin deterioration is there is no orders. So if there are no orders, you are taking active actions to bring in order and stay alive. And that's exactly what we are doing. Therefore, the NSRs are not going up at all to compensate for any of the other costs that have gone up. Overall, you see freight costs have gone up immensely because of oil prices, 3X, 4X, everywhere. All raw material costs have gone up, chemicals have gone up, because everyone is sweating at the moment in Europe. So all this is adding to the woes of the margin. So as situation eases out, all of this is going to come down.
Understood, sir. And just on the electricity front, when you say that for the next year we have locked in 50% on an average for both our plants, this is on what rates, if you could specify, is it for the similar rate that we have for this particular year?
Yes.
Understood. Then on the, the overall impact which you are seeing in October, and we also know that December is Christmas, which is generally a bit of an off-season in Parador. For 3Q, do you see similar kind of, numbers which we can achieve as we have seen in 2Q, or you see that we might be relatively better off?
Yeah, we are trying every day, sir. Every day I'm on top of it. I'm spending almost more than two and a half weeks in Europe myself and traveling to all customers directly to have a first impression and also support. So every attempt is being made, sir. to see what best we can deliver in Q3.
Got it, sir. So just then on the roofing business, I just missed your comment on the increase in fiber prices. Could you quantify that, please? And that is close to 40% of our total RM, right?
You're right. So fiber has gone up by more than 50%, 15%, maybe 15 to 20% rise in fiber costs. The sea freights haven't come down. So giving you a clear impression, the sea freight from China to maybe Europe has come down, but from Brazil to India hasn't come down because it was already lower than the other sea freights. So that hasn't come down enough. So therefore, these are cost elements, which is very, very difficult to be recovered from the market with NSR, and that's what's creating the downside.
Okay, so just from that, understanding, this is 15-20% increases year over year, right?
That's right.
So when we look at our margins for the current quarter, when we look at what we had achieved in 2Q of last year, there's a significant decline. So is there anything else that we are missing? Because, the fiber prices have not shot up so significantly to have an overall impact on our margins in such a way.
No, it has. I mean, if you look at fiber alone, there is a big, big dent to the bottom line that has come through. I don't have the quantified numbers, but we could send it later for you. Cement has also gone up in quarter.
It would be close to 6-7%, right? 35-40% and 15%.
Right. And the NSRs haven't paid. The other costs are also there in there. So all of that together, I think the dip in margin, Ajay, please correct me, in roofing. So there is a dip in margin of 8%, and I think most of it is fiber, cement, and of course, quarter on quarter, there will be some cost increase, which is on manpower and all those things. Plus, the electricity costs in all our factories have gone up in the country that has gone up. So all of that.
Understood, sir. And for a second half in the roofing business, do we see a step-up improvement in margins, or we see a moderate sort of an improvement? Because, for second half of last year, we were somewhere in the band of 15-15.5% on EBIT levels. So do you think that is something which will be achievable, given that we have seen such a sharp increase in freight prices and even in fiber prices?
The attempt is to improve the margin, but it will not happen by any cost savings, and everything that I do which is controllable is not going to give a substantial flip up unless the NSR goes up substantially. So that is the element that on which the team is fully working on, because the cost, given where we are, I don't see an improvement in costs of raw material at all.
Mm-hmm. Understood. And sir, just lastly on the construction chemical business, you said that you have hired, you said you have hired close to 25-30 people, and you have achieved somewhere around 7 crores of revenue in first half. What has been the operating cost as of now for this business, first half FY23?
I don't have that number here, and I think it will not be fair to me to talk about the entire P&L in this call. It is too early, sir. This is an investment. See, if I had invested in construction chemical by heavy capex, there would have been depreciation and costs and all the rest, which we have not taken the route. So the route I have taken is organic growth. So these costs you should estimate as an investment for the future growth of construction chemical.
Understood, sir. Understood. I'll come back in the group. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, we request you to limit your questions to 2 per participant only. If time permits, you can come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Pavneesh Kumar from Hridaya Cars Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Chaudhary. Thank you for such comprehensive detailed analysis of the business performance. And I can very well understand the kind of difficulty which the company is going through, but you all are, you know, relentlessly fighting to make the company profitable once again. So congratulations once again. So my question was, like, asbestos sheet has always been, you know, there are always apprehensions around the future of asbestos sheet, it being cancerous. So do we have a plan B in case, you know, in future government bans asbestos sheets?
Kumar Saab, thank you for your good wishes and compliments. This period, getting compliments is far too impossible, but thank you for understanding our pains. Your team is fully on the job, and I can tell you we are more than committed when it comes to mitigating hardships. Your question on asbestos is fair, but to tell you very frankly, I do not see a problem in the immediate future in India, because there is no other competitive material to asbestos roofing in the whole world, and the rural sector relies immensely on cost-effective, high-strength, high-longevity products, and therefore I don't see a problem at all in India. But your company is the only company which has taken strategic decision to come out with non-asbestos roofing product. We are unable to push this in big numbers because this product is more strategic for a possibility when asbestos roofing will go out of the market. If asbestos goes out of the market, Fortune, Chamina Fortune, which is our non-asbestos roofing product, can be made from each and every manufacturing facility that makes asbestos roofing. So there is a 100%, replacement that can happen off the asbestos lines to make non-asbestos products. So that product is already there. Enough actions are being taken on cost reduction there so that we are able to bring it down substantially. We have sold in excess of 11,000 metric tons in the first 6 months of this year of this product, and the quality is doing fantastically well.
Fair enough, sir. Fair enough. So my second question was, like, we seem to have a, you know, weak brand in terms of pipes in North India. So do we plan to strengthen it further in North India, and also do we wish to outsource the production in North India of PVC and CPVC pipes?
Thank you again. So I'll take the second question first. We have three manufacturing units for pipes, and your question is only on pipes. Because Putty, we are actually very good as a brand in North India, and we have secured good market of Putty in North. Let me come to pipes specifically. That's your question. We have three locations where we make pipes. Faridabad is one, which is in North India. Golan is the other, which is in West India. And Timapur is the third, which is in South, so mixed South. So we have three factories. At the moment, Faridabad is about 85% fully capacity utilized. Timapur is 100% capacity utilized, and Golan is about 50%. So we have enough capacity within the manufacturing facility, so we don't have to go for outsourcing. Second is, the three verticals on which pipes really work, according to me, and you can correct me always, is brand, number one, product quality, number two, and the team, the sales team. So we are strengthening all of these three continuously. You would have seen a lot of brand activation in North behind the autos, the three-wheelers, with our brand. It's always a matter of when do I spend more on brand on ATLs, and that decision we will be taking as the business takes the lead. PVC price reduction has kind of hovered around the minds of the industry on a lower demand and lower primary sales. So give us another couple of months. As PVC price stabilizes, you would see a lot more brand activation.
Yeah, my question specifically on PVC pipe was because, sir, I am myself into this trade. I'm a distributor of PVC and CPVC pipes. And HIL, in our area in Haryana, we see Astral and Ashirwad being extremely strong in CPVC. I don't see that kind of a push from HIL. Me being a very, very loyal shareholder of HIL, I would love to, you know, see some force in CPVC pipes in Haryana also. That's a request, sir.
Do I have a difference with your views? Not at all. Astral and Ashirvad, you name two companies, they are big giants in pipes. Over the last 25, 30 years, they have built a brand which is exceptionally well, and I look up to them. Can we get to that league very soon? Yes, we will. And thank you for being so patient with us. Do interact with our pipe team and help us to appreciate what more we can do in Haryana specifically, and we will do every bit of it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. That's so sweet of you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Nikhil from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, Nikhil, there is a little bit of a bounce in your voice, but you are audible.
Okay, I hope it's better now, probably.
Please go ahead. If I have a problem, I'll ask you to repeat.
I just have two questions. One is specific to Peridot. In the opening remarks, you mentioned that the problems which we are facing, many other competitors are also facing. So, and over a long period, if you look at Peridot, has two manufacturing lines, one in Germany and one in Austria. Now, if you get a manufacturing line in some other region in Europe, which probably helps you reduce the logistic cost and help you expand the market faster, would you be open to any acquisitions of that sort in Peridot, or is there anything of that sort in terms of acquisition to build or strengthen our logistics or supply chain better in Peridot, you are thinking?
Nikhilji, that's a very, very important and pertinent question that you have asked. I'll tell you why. Because when situation becomes so bad in Europe, and I think this will continue for the next quarter at least, there would be some distress effects that we can look at. Our team is working on this as we speak. At the moment, our German factory is fully unfilled. So we are, I don't know, about 60% capacity utilized. So there's far more that we can do in Germany. Therefore, we will not be in a hurry to look at expanding the facility for products like resilient laminates and modular ones, but our wood plant is fully utilized. So we are actually having order backlogs up to end of February there. And we are looking at, definitely looking at some companies from where we can possibly source some part of this. Though the brand plays a bigger role, the brand is so well established, we don't want to dampen the brand and its value. Therefore, buying from anyone else, selling will not be our course of action. We would be doing majority value add in our factories to continue the brand spree. But your question on whether we can look at some, you know, constructively to buy some companies during this distressed time, yes, that window is very much open. But I will not be in a hurry immediately.
Okay. Second question, Hiruki, is slightly, if I zoom out in terms of the company, now we have three pillars for our P&L. One is Peridot, another is roofing, and third is the new business initiatives which we are developing. Now, for the last 1.5 years, if I look at it, we've been impacted by all the events are exclusive events to each of the business, but all of them hit us at the same time. If you have to understand, and if you review your business over the last 5 years and you create your strategy over the next 5 years, because this volatility of the business operating environment can sustain and we don't know about it, would you see any way that probably in some part of the business aggressiveness has to increase, or would you say we need one more pillar in order to strengthen the P&L balance sheet in order to compensate for such volatile events whenever they happen? Or how are you looking at, like, what's your learning or what's your reading of the events which have happened over the last 3 years, and what are your key takeaways which you probably think next 3 to 5 years the whole company has to bring in?
Quite a strategic question, and I'm very happy you asked this, because this is something which continues to grow in my mind, and I can give you an answer straight away without looking at any papers. Strategically, HIL is all planned to become $1 billion by 2025-26, and this is a commitment I have made. This was a commitment I made 5 years when I joined this organization, when we were only 140 million, and I continue to make that commitment. But the last 2-3 years have been difficult. First COVID, now the war. These were unanticipated. These were unprecedented. These are, you can label them as historically one of its kind. But the team has really, really taken lessons to make these as an opportunity for the business in many ways, and we will continue to do. Let me come specific to your questions. Roofing, you can expect in the next 3 to 4 years, and let's talk about only 3 to 4 years now, time frame. In next 2 to 3 years, 3 to 4 years, roofing, please don't expect more than a single digit growth in roofing. The costs will always be a threat to roofing profitability, but we will take enough actions from R&D in alternative recipes to mitigate these costs. And therefore, on a profitability scale, roofing will be quite sustainable. Let's come to now building solutions. So that's a segment which was nascent when I joined, and it was not even 150 crore, I remember. We have taken this segment to 400 crore, and now you can see this year that we are able to grow this segment with a double-digit profitability. And we will take enough actions to grow this further. I'm determined not to add too many assets to this, because the asset turn in this business is not very high, but we would look at all alternatives to grow this business through outsourcing route, as well as wherever needed, add on intelligent capex so that we are able to grow this business. This business will become at least 800 crore in the next 3 to 4 years time. When we look at polymers, that's an absolute new business which came in once I joined. So I remember the 130 crore capex that we invested within 3 or 4 months of my joining, or 5 months of my joining. This is a complete new segment, and we are learning the trade of it. Have we expertised in it? No. Every day we are learning, sir. This is a very, very difficult but very interesting segment. This segment gives you enough to grow to 1,000 crore in 5 years. And we are absolutely sanguine. We are committed to take this up there. So this growth will happen, and when we reach those levels, the profitability will be quite good, because that's what we see for all the established players, 5 or 6 of them who are at that level, 1,000 plus crore. Putty, of course, is more opportunistic, more a brand play by us, more opportunistic based on our penetration countrywide, where we are connected with 26,000 retails around the country. So putty, to take this beyond a certain level, will be difficult, because there are big players there. So, two of them established, and now one paint company is making a big frame this. So we will continue in this product and take it to 450 crores certainly. My earlier estimate was 600 crore, but I would soften that a little bit, but we will grow. When it comes to construction chemicals, that's the newest business we have got into, and construction chemicals for me is an absolute greenfield for HIL with its brand, its connect. Most of our counters sell this product, and it's just to climb on it and try and make best of this. We have just entered, sir, and you would see good improvement, very good exponential growth in this segment in the coming quarters, quarter after quarter. The flooring segment, that is Parador, is a very, very good segment. I once again say what is happening in Europe was completely unprecedented. We will grow this segment and double Parador from where it is in the next 3 to 4 years' time. That's the commitment. That's where the new manufacturers are being secured. Parador always sold in Germany and Austria almost 70-75%. So now with the turmoil there, it's giving us an opportunity to look at other avenues, and the team is fully contributing to that. Yes, of course, if you add all of this, we may still be lacking about 1,000 crore more to reap up to the 7,500 crore level, and we are always opportunists to look at
Sorry to interrupt, Hiruji, just last question. I hope you can hear me. My question was not with respect to reaching a particular scale. My question was with respect to having the ability with a company to move the pedal and improve the profitability. So what we saw this quarter was like the roofing got impacted, Parador got impacted, pipes got impacted. So all three were were exclusive events, but they all impacted the P&L badly. Now, what we've seen in many large companies is like if one or two business don't operate, they have the ability to move the profitability in the third business and still keep the sanctity of the P&L and the cash flows as it is. So, what I'm trying to understand is that probably rather than opening more avenues, should we focus on improving the scalability of the existing avenues so that the profitability lever is with us?
The whole team effort is not only top line but profitable top line, and that has not daunted at all. What you're seeing as fluctuation or negativity in profitability is entirely externally created, and I think the entire industry is in this problem. So I'm not defending where we are, but I'm just saying no matter which segment you look at, if you were there, the situations were difficult. There are just a few segments which are doing extremely well. All the others have been knocked down in building materials. So whichever segment I would have created, we would have faced this problem in the present terminal, which is more geopolitical creations. And so you have one, stability here that you are not only in one geography, you are in two geographies or three geographies, if I may say. And therefore, if India weakens for any reason, Europe will sustain. If Europe has weakened today, India is sustaining. That's the sustainability of this organization. So I don't think anything is lacking in our futuristic strategy that will not take this company to profitable growth. These are absolutely unprecedented times. Live through this, and you would see what your management brings to you, sir.
Sure, sir. Thanks for sharing the perspective.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Mohit Khanna from Banyan Capital Advisors. Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the current participant has got disconnected. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Ramkrishna Nethi from Zen 12 Management Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for taking my question. So most of the questions have been answered one way or the other, but if I may, I just squeeze in one question, particularly in the roofing segment. So initially in your comments you mentioned that apart from the raw material impact and all those things, there was high competitive intensity because of which there was a pricing pressure which has impacted the margins. So at a general level, just trying to understand your sense, at what stage of the cycle do you think the situation is now? I mean, I'm just trying to understand for what more period of time this particular competitive intensity related pricing pressure will continue to stay in the system. That is first one. Second thing is, to what extent it is also because of demand supply dynamics and also the impact of alternatives that are actually impacting the pricing in this particular segment. If you can help us understand on this, thank you.
So your your line has been not very clear, and therefore I have not picked and gathered the entire question, but I think I know what you're asking. So how much of roofing is profitability sustainable? I think that's your question from the competitive environment and the material cost environment. Is that right?
No, can you hear me? Hello?
I can hear you, but your voice was not very clear to me.
Yeah, is this clear now? I mean, maybe I will ask the question again.
Yes. Can you be a little slower and ask your question? It will be easier for everyone to hear, I guess.
Yeah, so the question particularly with respect to roofing treatment, in your initial comment you mentioned that apart from the raw material inflation and all those things, there has been impact of high competitive intensity and pricing pressure coming from that particular area. So I'm just trying to understand generally what do you think, I mean, at what cycle we are in, you know, wherein this competitive intensity will continue to be happening. For what time you see this will continue to impact the margins? That is one thing. And the second thing is, to what extent the pressure is also become because of demand supply scenario and the impact of alternatives to our best roofing.
Okay, let me take your second question first. There is no alternative for roofing segment. I don't think steel at all competes into this segment. The price of steel sheets would be at least double of that of our asbestos roofing, and therefore I don't see that at all a competition. This segment is about 3.7 to 4 million metric tons in India, and it stays within that with a cyclicity within quarters that happens. If the rains have been bad in a particular year, the next year demands will be low because the crops will be less, and therefore the farmers get less to pay for the roofs. But the rates have been very good again this year, therefore I do not see a problem next year so far as demand is concerned. This segment has at least 35% excess capacity. And for HIL, we have about 20-25% excess capacity in this in our machines. So there is always a lower demand to the capacity that can be produced in the country, and two of our competitions are adding new machines, new lines for asbestos roofing. I wonder why, but they are. So that will further increase the installed capacity in India. The demand grows at about a single digit, 2-4% annually. And that's the best you can achieve. So far as the margins are concerned, yes, the raw material has played a part this year, fiber being one, your sea freight being the other part of it. Cement always is a concern, but I think the market, the industry has learned to live with the cement cyclicity, but fiber has been a complete bouncing. I think this will soften once Russia and Kazakhstan start in an open, in a good way, which should happen in the next 2-3 quarters, is my view. On the selling price part, your company is the only one which has at least a market differential of 5-7% over the next on realization. So that's because of the brand, that's because of the penetration we have. So we will always be ahead of the curve when it comes to NSRs, and we will also be very competitive on the material costs because being big and having a long-term relationship with some of our key suppliers, we get preferential treatment. So this segment will continue to be high profitability and decent growth on a sustainable basis.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubham Agarwal from Equitas. Please go ahead. Sorry to interrupt. Shubham, there's a lot of disturbance from your line.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Agarwal, this is far better. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. And first of all, really appreciate you explaining the current situation in such detail. So most of my questions have already been answered, but One more question I wanted to understand with related to the fiber prices. So you mentioned that YOY it has gone up by 15%, but if you can give me some more detail around the current situation or the magnitude of the problem, do you see the Brazilian supplies increasing in order to capture the growth in the demand, and when do you expect the Kazakhstan or Russia supplies to come back?
Thank you, Subhanji. Fiber price escalation was created because of, I think, two or three factors. One was this war. Therefore, there was a huge uncertainty around deliveries from Russia and Kazakhstan. Even today, I guess, the deliveries do not come direct but are routed elsewhere. But we don't buy from Russia and Kazakh, so I will not have a clear update on this. But certainly what it meant was we saw many of our competitors flocking to Brazil to fill up their fiber requirements, which was evident, and along with the cost structure in Brazil and, of course, a little bit of opportunistic regime that they could see themselves in, they raised the prices. 15 to 20% is the rise in selling price that they have declared, I believe, to everyone. We have a preferential pricing with Brazil, I guess, over the rest, and these numbers are not officially circulated, so I'm using the word guess, but I'm rather confident on this. And therefore, that continues. So on our lower base, even if we have increased the price by 15-20%, others have increased it on higher base. So our cost, therefore, would be lower than the others. That's one aspect of it. What was the other question that you asked, sir?
When do you expect the supplies to come back from Kazakhstan and Russia? And is there a possibility of Brazilian entity increasing the supply to reduce prices?
So I think the Brazilians would look at improving their capacity because they are now full up with orders. There are a lot of people crowding on them for more. So if I was them, I would increase the capacity. That's what I would say. It's on their hands. I don't buy from Kazakh at all, so I can't give that answer to you. You should ask some of our other competition who regularly buy, but I think they're having problems. Russians have shown enough intention to once again supply to us. We will take it as it comes, but there are concerns on way of payment as well as on routing of the material.
Got it. And lastly, on the building solution division, so with our new investment, when do you expect the capacities to fully ramp up? And by Q4, how much can we expect out of the new investment?
So the boards adaptation in Orissa, which was about 20-odd crore capex, has already started kicking. So which is our roofing plant, which has been adapted to make both non-asbestos board during off-season. So that starts kicking already in Orissa, in our roofing plant in Orissa. Panels, new plant is being created again, 28 crore or something, which is in its final legs. I think by February we'll start commercializing that. So boards have started on, panels will add on from February. FastBill, which is the new acquisition of blocks, we have already started getting revenues from that last quarter and this quarter again, and other quarters we will start. So we will get, and we will try to grow that further. We are also adding small capacities in our existing plants to increase the production. And all of that should act to grow this business further. And opportunistically looking at further blocks from an outsourcing group, which I mentioned, which we have not yet been finalized. I think in the next month or so, we should be able to click on a few. So next quarter, we should be definitely able to share with you that part of it. We may need to add a couple of capex here and there, but at the moment it's not in a stage where I can for sure talk about it. But building solutions, we will grow.
Got it. That's good to hear. And lastly, on the polymer division, do we expect break-even in the current quarter, or the situation is still negative in terms of price?
Sir, if PVC prices do not further drop, I think we should be able to break even at EBITDA terms. But if PVC prices drop, well, we have already seen a 4 rupee drop this, 7 rupee drop already this quarter.
Okay.
Adds to the woes of inventory losses for everyone, not only for us. But let's keep our fingers crossed. But I must give you a realistic view. I definitely see PVC prices further dropping by at least 7 to 10 rupees more. And then there is no further possibility for this to drop, is my estimate on this. And the reason for PVC price drop is U.S., which has closed its operations a year back from October, November last year, has started kicking. And there is a huge, huge excess capacity in Europe. China is dumping their products, so they have excess capacity. So from international markets, all of this is ruining the prices. Whether they are making margins or not, I don't believe, because in India, some of the companies who are selling are not making positive margins by selling PVC. So I don't think this is more from the supplier's intention. This is more an overcapacity globally, which is ruining the PVC prices. What it's doing for pipe businesses, every customer is expecting a further drop in selling price of pipes because PVC will further go down. Therefore, primary stockings are not happening, and that is really shaming this industry.
Got it. Got it. Oh, so fair enough, and best of luck to the entire team.
I really need it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Khanna from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. And thank you for taking my question. My question is regarding Parador. We can see that demand is scarce. What is your sense? Till when would you see a DIY demand to be scarce first? Secondly, would you look for acquisition of brands in Europe? Something, you know, this is adding on to the distressed asset question, acquisition question that one of the you know, listeners already asked you. In terms of so, would you be acquiring more brands to expand, become a consolidator in the European market?
So, Mohitji, thank you for your question. Part of it I have answered, but I don't mind repeating any bit of it just for clarity. First of all, demand definitely has gone down, more than 30%. Let me tell you, this is not what Parador is facing. The market is facing even more. We are trying to sustain one part of our business, which is the engineered wood, through project orders from Nordic country and Spain, which I guess others are not able to do. So to an extent, we are slightly better off than others. Therefore, we have not closed our factories. We are keeping our factories on. That's answering your first question. Your second question on when this demand will improve, I can't say, honestly, because it all depends on after the winters, whether the sentiments of the consumers return. I can only say that my bet is on that after the winter situation improves. So from February, situation should improve. The other bit I can tell you is I have seen that when 6 to 7 months, 8 months, the world was closed for COVID, when situation became good, there was a huge, huge demand spree that came in Europe, and we were unable to fill it up at that stage because raw materials were not available. So that kind of a spree of demand is definitely going to come, and most probably than not next year. Therefore, I'm preparing myself to have a bumper Parador performance next year. That's how I'm preparing. Hopefully, the war should subside. Hopefully, situation should be far under control. Hopefully, the government also does enough. The German government is a very strong government, you know, just that they have, at the moment, three parties running it, so there is no single majority. They need to find a way to influence on the industries that are doing well and sustaining and keeping the jobs on trend. If you get an opportunity, do watch my interaction with the biggest you know, biggest forum that KPMG is platforming in Frankfurt, and I'm going to speak loud on what the industry needs from the government. Let's hope that helps.
Fair enough. I was just actually trying to understand that you have already explained us that you have spent quite a bit of time in Europe. So from that perspective and the gas prices, which is causing inflation and eating into wallet share of the consumer. So on that front, do you see really concrete steps taken up by the government in the Europe to lower gas prices and situation might be in better control starting Feb?
What they have done is close to nothing because they have passed on a 200 euro subsidy to all individuals in the last month, which is neither here nor there, so that's not helping at all. They have declared a 200 billion package, which is only on the net, but no one knows the details of it, truly how it's going to help the industries or consumers. They are still waiting for more clarity. The clarity that has been sent across is very confusing for everyone, and therefore I'm unable to comment on this. I think in the next few days, months' time, we will have far more clarity on 14th. I'm back to Europe, let's hope I'll be meeting a few government agencies also and bankers. At the moment, also bankers are important because we have to continue to see liquidity in Parador in every way. So all of that is being worked for, as I say.
Liquidity in Parador. Could you just emphasize a little bit more on that, sir? Thank you.
Parador liquidity is always a concern if we do not do enough revenue, and therefore when revenues are low, we have to continue to look at the liquidity in Parador. At the moment, there's no problem, but for future, depending on how things mature, we would like to have everything in our hands from the bankers, and that's what I talked of. Interest rates have gone up in Europe, as you're aware, and therefore all of that is gone. All I said is we are monitoring every bit of it.
Fair enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Master.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you very much, everyone. It has been a pleasure interacting with all of you on this call. I hope I have been able to transparently inform you about how your company is, where you have the constraints, and where what actions we are taking. We would like to engage more and more with you to give you fullest view of where we are. If you have any further questions, I would be happy to answer them. Please reach out to our investor relationship desk, and we will always be available to answer them. Thank you. Stay safe. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of HIL Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.